And good morning and welcome to Back to Business with Rob and Alan. The sponsors of Back to Business are Tucson Window and Door, Al Coronado Plumbing, Steamy Concepts, WaterTech, Arizona Pest Control, and Allen Shoes. Hello, I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising. This show, Back to Business with Rob and Alan, is still in its infancy. In fact, today is show number 4, and this is Saturday, May 30th, 2020. As hosts of this show, we're committed to serving you with ideas, strategies, and techniques for building, marketing, or improving your business. Big or small, we're all in this together. We need to get the economy up and running again, and that's why we're here. We've created this show to try and help. Through this entire series of shows, we'll discuss the latest news and also interview leaders in our community each week that will share with you their experiences, their knowledge, and their stories of struggles and success.
And hello, my name is Alan McCloskey. My wife Annette and I have run our own local chain of shoe stores in Tucson, Allen Shoes, since 1982. This show, Back to Business with Robin Allen, is about encouraging our listening audience to bring their A game to the job of getting their business up and running again. As you know, Rob, what we're trying to do is bring attributes to the surface, positive attributes like energy, excitement, a can-do, will-do attitude. That means drive and flexibility and an open mind to learn from others. Here's a new add-on this week, a willingness to accept and embrace change.
Wait a minute, Alan. You're asking a lot. Already the day-to-day uncertainty is driving people almost to drink. If you want business people to do one more thing and embrace change, it's a gigantic ask. You better give them a reason to do it.
Well, Rob,
So our big question of the week, and Alan, you're going to answer this later in the program, is why must I, as a business person, adapt to change?
Well, Rob, I'm going to answer that, but let's get to our guest. And before you introduce our guest, I want to remind our viewers that our call-in line is 790-2040. That's 790-2040. Rob, you're listening to Back to Business with Rob and Alan on KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice. Our website is b2btucson.com, btobtucson.com.
Alan, this week's guest comes to us from the banking world. We're excited to bring him on because it's time to move beyond the PPP loans and consider what other banking needs our businesses need, and that makes it a pleasure to welcome Steve Ponzo. Steve is Vice President and Senior Relationship Manager with WaFed Bank. He's been in the business for over 15 years, delivering results to help businesses across Southern Arizona grow and achieve their financial goals. He specializes in commercial loans and cash management deposit products for all kinds of businesses in Southern Arizona. Steve, welcome to Back to Business.
Good morning. Thank you.
Hey, we're really thrilled to have you with us this morning, Steve. You know, it's kind of interesting. We didn't know much about WaFed Bank until the PPP loan program came out. And I have to really commend your bank for the way they've put out a helping hand to small businesses that you didn't even have relationships prior to. You guys really helped a lot of people when they were in need.
Yeah, definitely. We were really excited about the opportunity to do that. And our CEO, Brent Beardall, had pulled together all of the commercial bankers across the organization. And the basic gist of what he said was, we're going to do this because it's the right thing to do. And they gave us the tools and resources to do it. It was really pretty exciting.
Well, I can tell you from a personal standpoint, when my bank that I've dealt with for many years kind of left me out in the cold, you guys were there and you made it so simple. And you had people that called and returned phone calls and were helpful and encouraging, because I know a lot of business people were hurting, were really worried, couldn't sleep at night, and here you guys came to the rescue. I just have to commend you greatly. And I think in the long run, even though you guys deserve every commission you made on this thing, I think you're going to get a lot of customers, because a lot of the small business people are going to remember you and move their business to you in the future. I'm really convinced of that. Steve, maybe you could talk to us a little bit about the PPP a little more. Is it still involved? Are there any funds left, or is it all pretty well taken care of?
You know, as far as we know, I think the numbers that I had seen as of yesterday was there was about $100 billion left. So it seems like there is still opportunity for businesses that are looking. I started to get calls again yesterday as the new bill was moving through the House. You know, people saying, well, if they change, the requirements for how much of the money needs to go to payroll. You know, they were talking about reducing it from 75 down to 60 or something along those lines, and extending the amount of weeks designated for use. There were definitely businesses, for example, restaurants, that previously had said, well, this probably won't work for me, and now they're thinking it might. So there are still funds available. The bank is still taking applications. A lot of lenders have shut off their application system, but we do have it available through our website or by calling a commercial banker like myself.
No, and that portal that you guys had was really fantastic. It was easy to navigate. You guys really just made it so simple for people. It was really amazing.
Did anyone get turned down for a PPP loan?
You know, we did a ton of these things, and certainly there were situations where people could not provide all of the information that was required. In those situations, I think out of all the deals that I looked at, I maybe had to decline one of them. And quite honestly, we felt uncomfortable about the situation. It was a business that had been recently formed and went, you know, they were claiming that they had hundreds of employees, and it just didn't feel right. And when we started asking for appropriate documentation, they just couldn't supply what we needed, and we did have to decline that one. But you know, if you had all of your payroll report, all of your documentation together, 941s, or 2019 tax returns, or draft K-1s, draft tax returns from 19, we were able to get those done without any problem.
And so what's going to happen now for the people that got the loans? Are you going to reach out to them, and they're going to have to provide you with the information so that these are forgiven, or is the SBA going to provide that information? How's that going to work moving forward?
Well, the SBA has put out a forgiveness application, and I think everybody that has read through that has found it to be a little bit more complicated than we all would have liked. But it does give guidelines as to how you can apply for forgiveness, and it sounds like you can start applying for forgiveness right after the 8-week period is up. Now, if that gets extended by Congress, there's a possibility that people will wait to apply for forgiveness. Some companies, in certain industries, it's not an issue to hit the FTE requirements, and they're going to probably apply right away. And so the bank, I know WaFed is working on a process for that right now. We've been putting a lot of time and energy into that to hopefully make it as efficient as applying on the front end was. So, yeah, I would assume that it's going to open up right after the initial 8 weeks, probably around the 15th of June would be my guess. And it will continue through, you know, whatever period Congress designates. And it may change. There are a lot of things that still seem kind of fluid about the whole forgiveness process. And so we're definitely taking a wait and see approach. We want to put a framework out there for process, but in terms of all of the criteria, you know, we're taking a little bit of a wait and see approach because things are still being discussed in Congress. Yeah.
Do you foresee more monies coming from Congress to extend this program again?
I don't personally, only because the demand dipped off really hard with a lot of funds remaining the second time around. When the first time, you know, the first round of funds, it was gone very quickly, and the second time around, the demand waned pretty good about halfway through with a lot of funds remaining. So I don't see that they will need to do that, but you never know what could happen a month from now. If we go back into shutdown, something like that, I could certainly see a situation where more funds would be required.
Steve, I want you to agree to stay on through our second segment. We're going to do a break in about a minute, but will you stay on? Because I want to talk to you about things outside of the PPP. We want to talk to you about your regular funding activities and what you see going forward. Will you stay with us?
Certainly.
Okay, so catch us on the internet at b2btucson.com. That's b2btucson.com. You're listening to Back to Business with Robin Allen on KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice. If you want to sponsor our show, please call Rob at Davidson Advertising, 629-9555. Call online at 790-2040. Please come back after our commercial break.
For over 37 years, Allen's Shoes has become the place to find quality comfort footwear, great customer service, and the best selection of sizes and widths. Allen Shoes carries men's and women's shoes from brands such as New Balance, Brooks, Hoka, Birkenstock, Clarks, Echo, Taos, Finn, Mephisto, Piccolinos, Wolke, Propre, and many others. We think we're the best place to buy shoes in Tucson. Our selection of wide widths is the best in the area. A big selection of the best brands, coupled with service from an energetic staff and a vast inventory of sizes and widths, is the Allen Shoes promise. Our new store hours are 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Allen Shoes offers the comfort you want and the service you deserve. Visit us at one of our Tucson stores or online at allenshoes.com.
So much more than just windows and doors. Tucson Window and Door.
You've seen the rest. Now see the best at Tucson Window and Door. Right now, you'll save during our biggest sale ever. Save 15% on your entire purchase, plus an additional $100 on every window and door. Tucson Window and Door is locally owned and operated. You'll never get over the top prices by aggressive salespeople who won't leave your home. We'll always treat you fairly and with respect. Check out our numerous testimonials and positive reviews. For the best products at the best prices, specially engineered for Tucson's harsh elements, remember Tucson Window and Door. Financing options are available OAC. Remember, save 15% plus an additional $100 on every window and door during our biggest sale ever at Tucson Window and Door. Go to TucsonWindowAndDoor.com to schedule your free estimate today. That's TucsonWindowAndDoor.com or call 298-DOOR, 298-DOOR, ROC number 206959.
So much more than just windows and doors, Tucson Window and Door.
Need a plumber? Call Al Coronado Plumbing. Featuring our 5-crown service. We charge by the job, not the hour. There are never any unpleasant surprises. As everyone knows, emergencies happen at the worst time. That's why we answer our phones 24/7. And at Al Coronado Plumbing, there's never an overtime charge. You pay the same regardless of when we do the work.
Al Coronado Plumbing, the name you've come to trust. Our 5-pound service keeps things running.
Our work is guaranteed up to 5 years. Call 323-7848.
Al Coronado Plumbing. Our 5-pound service keeps things running.
Call 323-7848. ROC number 289733.
Welcome back to Business with Rob and Alan. I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising.
And I'm Alan McCloskey, owner of Allen Shoes, and this is Back to Business with Rob and Alan. The sponsors of Back to Business are Tucson Window and Door, Al Coronado Plumbing, Steamy Concepts, WaterTech, Arizona Pest Control, and Allen Shoes.
Our guest this morning is Steve Ponzo, who's waiting for your calls at 790-2040. 790-2040. Steve's with WaFed Bank. But Steve, we're armed with our own questions, and I think Alan has a few for you.
Hi, Steve. You still with us?
Certainly am.
Okay. So what does it take for a business person to get access to the capital he needs to catch up? If he uses the PPP money for payroll and for rent and utilities, which is what he's allowed to do, he's got some other needs to patch up. There's been a big cash flow loss and some expenses to business. So what does it take for a business person to get access to other capital?
Definitely. Well, you know, the gentleman who had mentored me is a 35, 40-year banker, commercial banker here in Southern Arizona, and he used to tell me all the time going into the last downturn, he'd say, you know what, a good company in bad times is still a good company. So what makes a company creditworthy? It's really the same things that apply, you know, in difficult times like today, the same things apply that would during good times. You need to have character, capacity, collateral, capital, and conditions have to be right. So these are the 5 C's of credit. You'll hear bankers talk about this periodically, but these are the critical pieces to being able to obtain credit. And so if you have good character, good integrity, you've demonstrated that you've handled obligations in the past as agreed, things like that as an owner of the business, you know, that's kind of check number one. Capacity, do you have the ability to repay the debt? Can you show that over the last 2 or 3 years, you've had the ability to service debt adequately with appropriate coverage for the bank. That's number two. Repayment ability is always one of the most critical points. Third is collateral. You got to have something to offer as collateral to a bank. Banks finance assets. Capital comes from owners in its purest form. Capital comes from owners. Banks provide debt to augment that capital and help with sales growth. But at the end of the day, we're supporting the growth of a business by financing assets, which allows for capital to otherwise stay in the company that would be used to buy that asset. So you got to have collateral. Capital, we want to see a business that has, you know, where the owner has skin in the game. You know, you want to see a business that's properly capitalized, where the owner has demonstrated over the past, you know, few years and to current that they will leave money in the company, that they are supporting the company with their own funds. That's really important. And especially in times like today, when there's volatility, it's the companies where the owners have made sure that they're properly capitalized. These are the companies that are going to make it through. And so banks are looking at that. And then conditions, you know, this is the part that always changes. And this is probably one of the most critical things right now. There are things that are out of your control. There, you know, when the government can step in and say, hey, look, we're not going to be open for business. These businesses are closing. That's a condition that a business owner can't control. But if a business is properly capitalized, if they have assets that they can pledge as collateral, if they've been able to support their cash flow or support their debt in the past with adequate cash flow, they should still be able to get credit today. So that's something that's really important. That last piece, conditions, can always be, you know, overcome by those other four items.
Well, when you're talking about capacity and ability to take care of your debts, obviously there is an issue here, which is that income was shut off, and yep. You know, people are going to need to meet what I assume is a go-forward debt service coverage ratio. Is that the formula that you're basically, you know, talking about when you're trying to measure someone's ability to repay, the debt service coverage ratio, or is there some other factor that you're now using?
That's the primary. You know, debt service coverage is certainly primary. That traditional cash flow, you take somebody's EBITDA or earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, amortization, you take that and you're going to divide that by the current portion, long-term debt from the prior period, and interest expense. That's how you're going to look at somebody's cash flow. And so, yes, that is the way we look at it. And what I would say is, certainly, you look at a situation like we're in right now, there are going to be inabilities in some situations where people just are not going to be able to demonstrate that right now they can support the debt. And what I would say is, this is where financial reporting really becomes important. Businesses need to keep good financial reporting procedures. This not only helps business owners run their business, they need to be getting access to financial statements that are current and timely and up to date. Helps them manage it, but it's also going to help a bank. And here's how. So when you have a situation like this where all of a sudden your revenues are down, and you know that's obviously going to impact your cash flow, the bank's going to look at it and they're going to say, okay, over the last 3 years, this business has been able to support its debts. And because you can get accurate reporting in the interim, the bank can, if the business owner can isolate that issue and say, look, you can see the last 3 years we've paid our debts. You can see that these last 2 months, our revenues are down. We lost money these two months. Here's why. That helps a bank isolate that. When you have good financial reporting that clearly demonstrates what the issue is on the interim versus the historical. And you can also take an interim period. For example, you could take quarter one 2019 and compare that, supply that to the bank so they can compare it to quarter one 2020. And you can very clearly see the difference in how the operations look by comparing those periods. And that's what quality financial reporting will give to the bank. So then the second piece of that's important is having a plan. A business owner needs to look and say, okay, this is what happened. We can isolate this event, but here's what I'm doing to make sure that my business succeeds. The bank wants to make sure that a business owner is thinking about, okay, how do I diversify my revenue stream? How do I maintain an expense structure that's going to work in the new normal? And so having a plan and being able to articulate that to your banker is going to give them the ability to go to a credit approver and say, okay, here's what these guys are doing, and hopefully even be able to demonstrate it, that revenue diversity, the ability to diversify revenue, that is that plus a nice balance sheet with good capital, that is, those are the components that really got businesses through during the last downturn, and I think that's what's going to help people get through and be able to obtain credit in the new normal.
Do you see a lot of local businesses as possibly we're going to have a lot of attrition, or are you guys focused on that yet?
I mean, it's hard to say. I can say, based upon the demand that I saw for the PPP loans, I can say there are a lot of businesses out there where, I mean, this had a direct and very harsh impact on businesses. And there are certain industries that were clearly more affected than others. I mean, you look at restaurants, you know, things like that. But even within those industries that were impacted worse than others, you still see players who were able to diversify their revenue and who were able to figure out different ways to sell to the public and to market, and they're succeeding. So I think there will be attrition, but I also think that business owners who are getting into the mix, they're being proactive, they're coming up with a plan, and they're doing everything they can to diversify and manage expenses, I think they're going to make it.
Hey, Steve, one quick question I've always had for a banker. How come when I don't need money, you guys are offering money all the time, and when I do need money, it's not available?
Well, I think it goes back to that adage that I rolled out at the beginning. A good borrower is a good borrower in good times and in bad times. I would say that, you know, if you're able to have a good mix of those five elements, the character, capacity, collateral, capital, and conditions, if you're able to have a good mix of those in good times or bad, then capital's always available. And I mean, I lent during the last downturn, and I can tell you we made loans where it was difficult, but we got it done, and it was because of the elements that I described before. You had a business that had decent capital, had a plan, and it was clear that the issue was defined and isolated, and they were going to get through it. So, yeah, I can see that perspective, but I think capital from banks is always going to be available if you're meeting the vast majority of those five C's of credit.
One more question for you, Steve. Have you guys opened your branches yet, or are you still only dealing through the drive-ins?
So we're planning on opening up in a limited fashion on the 1st of June. We're going to be limiting the number of people that go into the branches at a time, you know, trying to keep some of the social distancing elements in place, while balancing that with people's need to be able to come in. So we're opening in a limited fashion on June 1.
Well, that's only Monday, so that's pretty close. I mean,
it's coming.
So, Steve, we're going to thank you for your participation in the show today. We really appreciate it. This was Steve Ponzo. He is a vice president of WaFed Bank. And by the way, just real quickly, is it Washington Federal or WaFed Bank or both or what?
It's actually both, yeah. For almost 100 years, the bank was known as Washington Federal. It's about a $17 billion bank, publicly traded on the NASDAQ. And it's always been known as Washington Federal, but recently they rebranded as WaFed Bank to make sure that people understood that we were no longer a savings and loan. I don't think we've been a savings and loan since the early 2000s. We wanted to make it very clear that we are a commercial bank. We're open for business. And that we offer a full range of products and services for both individuals as well as businesses.
Well, Steve, I just want to thank you again for everything you've done for the small businesses. I hope you'll tell your superiors that you guys did just a fantastic job of helping when help was really needed, and it's much appreciated. And thanks for being with us this morning.
Catch us on the internet at b2btucson.com. That's b2btucson.com. If you want to sponsor our show, call Rob Davidson at 629-9555. Our call in line, 790-2040. We'll break for national news, followed by a message from our sponsors. Please stay with us.
Wide Wide by Allen Shoes is a wide-width specialty store located at 7366 North Oracle Road, about a block north of Ina. Wide Wide by Allen Shoes focuses on wide and extra wide widths of men's and women's shoes. The best selection of wide width shoes in Tucson. You'll find some brands in this location that aren't carried at our stores, such as Softwalk, Aravon, SAS, Trotters, and Easy Spirit. We also carry the best selection of wide widths from both Brooks and New Balance. A big selection of the best brands, coupled with service from an energetic staff, and a vast inventory of sizes and widths is the Allen Shoes promise. Wide Wide by Allen Shoes is open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Allen Shoes offers the comfort you want and the service you deserve. Visit us at one of our Tucson stores or online at allenshoes.com.
ROC 291-200.
Water damage. It happens. If it hasn't happened to you, it will.
Steamy concepts. Steamy concepts.
Toilets overflow, pipes leak, and roofs fail, all causing water damage.
Steamy concepts. Steamy concepts.
And mold? It thrives in the hidden water damage crevices of your home.
Steamy concepts. Steamy concepts.
So who do you call? You guessed it. Steamy concepts. And that's who plumbers, insurance agents, and realtors call, because they know that Steamy Concepts will take great care of their customers. Steamy Concepts has been voted Best Mold Restoration Contractor by the Arizona Daily Star's Reader's Choice Awards 4 years running. Steamy Concepts accepts all homeowners insurance, and we have easy payment options.
If you ever have a water or mold damage problem in your home, make sure you only call the local trusted mold pros at Steamy Concepts for a free no-obligation assessment.
Check us out online at steamyconcepts.com.
Don't get steam, call Steamy instead at 574-9200.
Water is the essence of life. Doesn't your family deserve the best? Give your family the best with the drinking water system from WaterTech. Our systems will provide you and your family with clean, healthy water, up to 25 gallons per day. A soft water system from WaterTech will help protect your plumbing, fixtures, will eliminate hard water minerals, and make your dishes and glasses sparkle. Give your family the gift of water from WaterTech.
WaterTech.
Providing service after the sale.
Since 1967.
Got bugs, termites, bees, or rodents? Arizona Pest Control will hunt them down. Arizona Pest Control is your complete desert pest management specialist. Pests can't run or hide from Arizona Pest Control. They use only the latest and most technologically advanced methods of pest elimination available, which minimizes the effects on the environment. Let Arizona Pest Control get rid of your bad bugs, termites, bees, or rodents. Serving Tucson and Southern Arizona since 1947. Go to azpest.com to schedule your free evaluation today.
Welcome back to Back to Business with Rob and Alan. I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising. The sponsors of Back to Business are Tucson Window and Door, Al Coronado Plumbing, Steamy Concepts, WaterTech, Arizona Pest Control, and Allen Shoes.
And I'm Alan McCloskey. My wife and I own and operate Allen Shoes in Tucson. Rob, last week we had a caller named Charles. He asked us a question, I gave him an answer, but right after the show I just felt like I didn't address it right. So I used all of our business capital, that includes your half, Rob, and I hired a few detectives to try and find Charles so that I could follow up. When that didn't work, I contacted the police, put out an all-points bulletin. The police alerted me he had crossed the border into Canada, so I joined the Royal Canadian Police and I...
Alan, none of that is true, folks. Alan, please get on with the story.
So I reached back out to Charles. He's a friend of this show. Charles said he was asking how to make it so government doesn't have the power or means to get between you and your customers. I responded about being on the same team on our show last week, but Charles points out it's clear to him that some people do not want to be on any team that's directed by government. That's why some people got into business for themselves. Charles asked, for those people who do not want to be directed by government within the rule of law, what do you think would be the best way to tie government shoelaces together, or the best way to do it with the least damage? Okay, I think I get it now, Charles, but I'll take another stab at your question, and if I'm still not addressing it, I'm sure you'll let me know. I personally think there's more danger in allowing each business person to set their own rules and decide what rules they're willing to follow than there is danger in restricting the freedom of business people in the current crisis. The position that says government needs to get off of the business person's back seems like a libertarian position. Libertarians seek to maximize political freedom and autonomy, emphasizing freedom of choice, voluntary association, and individual judgments. Libertarians share a skepticism of authority and state power, but they diverge on the scope of their opposition to existing economic and political systems. Libertarians are into civil liberties, non-interventionalism, laissez-faire capitalism, and limiting the size and scope of government. And that makes sense, but in a pandemic, all hell can break loose. This difference seems to have more political involvement than rational thinking involved. If we allow a business person to ignore the consensus or governor's decision for how we should protect customers and employees, how can we expect to win our battle against the pandemic? So obviously, I generally believe that the government is doing a fairly good job, not perfect, of setting reasonable boundaries for how our business should operate. But I understand that a government can't see every nuance, can't fix or control or repair everything. For the most part, in the state of Arizona, a businessman is responsible for meeting the conditions set up for running his business in a safe way for employees and customers. And as we come out of this, he's responsible to those staff. He's responsible to those customers. In my mind, there'd be more damage to your fellow human being if we allowed business people to ignore these rules and set their own conditions. So we all agree that setting a low speed limit in a school zone, for example, is necessary for the greater good. Most people feel the speed limit is way too slow in those school crossing areas. And raising it would probably not be helpful, but in some instances, while no one has put at harm, it protects everyone. And so we all agree that that's a reasonable protection. We do that because kids are vulnerable and need that protection. Currently, we have another situation that's similar in my mind, where vulnerable individuals are elderly, are sick, are highly susceptible to bad outcomes if they catch the coronavirus. The mortality rate of that group is outrageous. Many people feel those safeguards are overly restrictive and damaging to businesses, but again, we have to think about how do we protect those that are the most vulnerable. I know many people got into business because they wanted independent control over their work life. I get that. But you aren't just impacting your own safety when you choose to ignore the dictates of what your elected officials determined was reasonable. I'm not saying they've done everything perfect, but I'm saying we must have reasonable norms for how each business person operates in order to protect everyone's rights. In answer to the initial question, I'm unable to think of ways for a business person to tie the government's shoelaces because I feel so strongly these restrictions are currently necessary. My position is in conflict with some of my business instincts, but not all of them. It doesn't conflict with this position. Doing what is right for your customer, even if it costs you, is usually the right thing to do and will usually be rewarded with future businesses. That goes for having liberal return policies as much as it goes to great lengths to protect the consumers, the customers, the employees that walk into your establishment. So, Rob, can you get to the news and let's talk about what's in the news?
Well, Alan, here's a story that kind of goes along the lines of what you were just talking about. Janet Tavacoli shut her Sherman Oaks store, The Beauty Collection, after a warning from police, but reopened without city permission early in May. L.A. was allowing retailers to offer curbside service, but she, who is 69 years old, figured she had already lost more than $15,000 in sales. She tried offering goods outside the front door for a few days, but it brought in just about half her usual traffic, and she was fed up. She cried and cried and cried. She said, "I needed money. I was depressed." After installing plexiglass over the cash register and outfitting her 12 employees with masks and gloves, Tavacoli opened back up, attracting more than 250 shoppers in just 3 days. "Our customers, when they found out we were open, were so happy," she said. But that violated LA's curbside-only rule for non-essential business, an order lifted only this week and only under certain conditions. The police returned, and on May 12th, City Attorney Michael Fuhr announced criminal charges against The Beauty Collection, Tavacoli's store. In Alameda County, Elon Musk may have gotten away with reopening his Tesla factory before it was allowed, but Los Angeles is prosecuting more than 70 businesses so far for allegedly flouting COVID-19 rules. Those businesses include pet groomers, hair and nail salons, a car wash, a printer, a shoe shop, a textile store, a restaurant, a boxing gym, an electronics outlet, a motorcycle dealership, and at least 30 smoke shops. Penalties if convicted are up to $1,000 in fines and 6 months in jail.
Wow. I do think that you know, fits in nicely with what we were talking about in our conversation with Charles. And, you know, I think it's for the greater good. I personally can see how this business person didn't know what else to do, and they're running out of money, and that is sad. But if we don't all work as a team here, we're nowhere, Rob.
Without a doubt, Alan. We're all in this together. It's, you know, and we all need to help one another. I think that's part of the message we need to get out there. Interestingly enough, we were talking about the PPP with Steve a few moments ago, and the House voted the other day Thursday to give small businesses financially strapped by the COVID-19 crisis more flexibility to spend the forgivable loans for payrolls and expenses from the PPP program. The 417-1 vote sends the measure to the Senate, which may seek changes. The bill's sponsors say urgent action is needed because the 8-week period when proceeds must be spent for loans to be forgiven will begin expiring this Friday for the first loan recipients after the Small Business Administration program opened on April 3rd. The House measure would give companies much more time to spend the money within 24 weeks or until the end of the year, whichever comes first, and still qualify to have their loans forgiven. So that's good news for folks out there, especially the people in the restaurant business who have not gotten open yet. And we're having problems how they were going to spend that money within that period of time. Alan, let's take a quick break right now. I think you have one other thing to talk about, and then we'll come back with your question of the day and some more news.
Yeah. Someone may be on the line, so I'm going to ask them to hold on through the next segment. But catch us on the internet at b2btucson.com. That's b2btucson.com. If you want to sponsor our show, please call Rob at Davidson Advertising, 629-9555. If you're listening to Back to Business with Rob and Alan, and it's KVOI, 1030 AM, The Voice, or call in line 790-2040. Please come back after our commercial break.
For over 37 years, Allen Shoes has become the place to find quality comfort footwear, great customer service, and the best selection of sizes and widths. Allen Shoes carries men's and women's shoes from brands such as New Balance, Brooks, Hoka, Birkenstock, Clarks, Echo, Taos, Finn, Mephisto, Piccolinos, Wolke, Propre, and many others. We think we're the best place to buy shoes in Tucson. Our selection of wide widths is the best in the area. A big selection of the best brands, coupled with service from an energetic staff, and a vast inventory of sizes and widths is the Allen Shoes promise. Our new store hours are 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Allen Shoes offers the comfort you want and the service you deserve. Visit us at one of our Tucson stores or online at allenshoes.com.
So much more than just windows and doors. Tucson Window and Door.
You've seen the rest. Now see the best at Tucson Window and Door. Right now, you'll save during our biggest sale ever. Save 15% on your entire purchase, plus an additional $100 on every window and door. Tucson Window and Door is locally owned and operated. You'll never get over the top prices by aggressive salespeople who won't leave your home. We'll always treat you fairly and with respect. Check out our numerous testimonials and positive reviews. For the best products at the best prices, specially engineered for Tucson's harsh elements, remember Tucson Window and Door. Financing options are available OAC. Remember, save 15% plus an additional $100 on every window and door during our biggest sale ever at Tucson Window and Door. Go to TucsonWindowAndDoor.com to schedule your free estimate today. That's TucsonWindowAndDoor.com or call 298-DOOR. 298-DOOR. ROC number 206959.
So much more than just windows and doors. Tucson Window and Door.
Got bugs, termites, bees, or rodents? Arizona Pest Control will hunt them down. Arizona Pest Control is your complete desert pest management specialist. Pests can't run or hide from Arizona Pest Control. They use only the latest and most technologically advanced methods of pest elimination available, which minimizes the effects on the environment. Let Arizona Pest Control get rid of your bad bugs, termites, bees, or rodents. Serving Tucson and Southern Arizona since 1947, go to azpest.com to schedule your free evaluation today.
Water is the essence of life. Doesn't your family deserve the best? Give your family the best with the drinking water system from WaterTech. Our systems will provide you and your family with clean, healthy water, up to 25 gallons per day. A soft water system from WaterTech will help protect your plumbing, fixtures, will eliminate hard water minerals, and make your dishes and glasses sparkle. Give your family the gift of water from WaterTech.
WaterTech.
Providing service after the sale.
Since 1967.
Welcome back to Business with Rob and Alan. I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising.
And I'm Alan McCloskey, owner-operator of Alan Shoes.
Alan, I have an interesting question here today. Can a business force me to wear a mask?
Well, I'm going to tell you that, you know, you offer it to every customer walking in my establishment, and a lot of people pick those up and do it. We're not enforcing it, but, you know, if everyone enforced it, I think we should too. We've had a couple of complaints, you know.
But interesting.
What does it say in the article?
Well, I've got an article here from Ohio. Attorney David Betras, he's the one that wrote this, and he said, we've all been greeted by that sign at the entrance of a fast food restaurant. You know, the one that says no shirt, no shoes, no service. Well, it's well established that a restaurant can refuse you service if you cannot meet this policy. We all accept this as a society. But due to COVID-19, are we going to see masks added to the list? In Ohio, masks are generally required of the employers and employees in the workplace unless otherwise not advisable or for medical reasons. The Department of Health strongly recommends masks for all customers, clients, visitors, or guests who can safely wear them. The caveat for safely wearing a mask was created to protect people who could suffer negative medical impacts by the recommendation. Health Department examples of these medical conditions include severe asthma or breathing issues, hearing aids, autism, or post-traumatic stress disorder. Despite published guidelines placing requirements in the workplace, it can still be confusing for people to ascertain whether facial covers are a mandatory requirement for non-employees. The short answer is that it can vary from location to location, and the decision is being left to those who run the operations. The levels of mask restrictions in businesses include mandatory, recommended, and non-mandatory. For example, one location where mask use is mandatory can be seen in our local courts. Many judges have issued orders requiring all individuals to wear masks when entering the courthouse. This is an example of extensive mask requirements being used to protect the overall public health. Next, larger corporately owned retail and grocery outlets recommend shoppers use face covers, but they are not making it a requirement for entry. Stores like Walmart and Giant Eagle and Costco have each issued public statements asking patrons to wear masks if possible. These companies have not issued mandates on masks, although I believe Costco has. Since the Ohio government, that's where this article came from, and health guidelines are not requiring customers to wear masks as a prerequisite for service, whether mask is mandatory or a requirement, it's left to the discretion of each individual business owner. And I think that's basically where it's going to stand.
Well, you know, we have some customers walk into our stores, and listen, I see them at the bank. I see them at the grocery store, and people are thinking, I'm not going to wear a mask, and I'm not sick, or I'm not going to make anyone sick, or it makes me claustrophobic, or there's all these reasons. So I'm going to give you an analogy I used with someone on Facebook recently. I don't know if it had any bearing whatsoever. So they were against these masks, and they were saying they do no good. So I said to them, here's two situations. So you're sitting there, forget about COVID, let's say it happened last year, and you're next to somebody and they sneeze. So they either sneezed and didn't put their hand in front of their mouth, okay, or they sneezed and put their hand in front of their mouth. And which do you think would be the condition at which they were, that was more protective to you? When they put their hand in front of their mouth. So if you believe in that, that's a simple thing that has happened before. Why wouldn't you think that anything would be helpful in this situation, even if these masks aren't totally protective? That's the reason to wear a mask, in my opinion, and that's the reason we all need to do this.
Well, and Alan, that leads us to the big question of the week. Why must I, as a business person, adapt to change?
Rob, I found an interesting article on the internet at lifehack.org about this topic. This COVID crisis has forced me as a business person to reconsider my formula for success and my preconceived notions for how to do business. I feel I'm adaptable to change, but realize that many others, employees, vendors, customers, do not embrace change. Change can come into our lives as a result of a crisis, as a result of choice, or just by chance. In either situation, we're all faced with having to make a choice. Do we make the change or not. I believe it's better to be prepared for change because we have more control over how we react to the change we're having than to face other issues in our life. When you're unprepared and resistant to change, then you have no control or choice as to how you want to live your life. You live your life as a reactionary reaction to the moment rather than an activator of change.
Alan, I've got a couple of quotes I'd like to share. Your life does not get better by chance. It gets better by change. That's from Jim Rohn. And quote two, life is a series of natural and spontaneous changes. Don't resist them. That only creates sorrow. Lao Tzu.
We cannot avoid the unexpected events, the crisis in our lives, Rob, as it is these events that challenge us and force us to step out of our comfort zone. If we ignore or hide away from the challenge of change, we deny ourselves the opportunity to learn and grow.
To exist is to change. To change is to mature. To mature is to go on creating oneself endlessly. Henry Bergson. Well, change is the new law of life. And those who look only to the past or the present are certain to miss the future. John F. Kennedy.
These five strategies are the key steps that enable you to adapt and successfully manage change in your life. Number one, changing your mindset. It's your power choice. We cannot control the events of change in our life, but we can control how we react to the impact that these events have on our lives.
Find meaning in life. Knowing what is important in your life gives you purpose and sets the direction of how you want to live your life. With a sense of purpose and meaning in life, you have clarity.
Number three, let go of your regrets. Regrets have a huge impact on how you respond to change, and they hold you back in life. Letting go of your regrets is key to you being able to move forward in life.
Write a list of scary things to do, then go do them. Make a list of the scariest things that you'd like to do but have not been too afraid to do in the past. Put a plan in place and then go to do them. Go have fun, challenge yourself, and get yourself used to change.
Number five, focus on living a balanced and healthy life. I don't even know why I'm saying this because my life is not that healthy and I need to improve, but that's what I'm saying here. Living a balanced and healthy, active life builds our resilience and ability to successfully manage the disruption that change can have on our lives. Stress is a normal response to dealing with changes and challenges in daily life. In the short term, stress can help you perform better under pressure, but constant stress can pose a real threat to your life.
Absolutely. And if you're going through stress, and I'm sure all of us are right now, I've got a couple of tips for you. Number one, go for a nice long walk. There's nothing like exercise to help you relieve stress. And, you know, something else that could relieve your stress a little bit is help somebody else. You know, no matter how bad your situation is in the world, there's always somebody out there that can use some help, whether it's a community food bank or a homeless shelter or somewhere. Reach out your hand, and it'll help relieve your stress as well. You know, again, we can't say enough about the fact that we're in this together. We are a community, and we need to help one another.
You know, everyone has a different threshold for the change you're willing to accept. I heard that there was a husband, he told his wife he wanted to change. He wanted to change a small thing, but it was meaningful. So he said to the wife that let's change who sits on the right side, who sleeps on the right side of the bed, and who sleeps on the left side of the bed. Now, they've had this situation going on for a long time, but that change was too much for the wife. She said, no, I'm not. That's just too strange for her. Every time they go out to a hotel, they stay in a hotel. Every time they move their house, every time it's the same position. And the husband he's adaptable to change, but it was too much for the wife. When he told her he'd like to then move the bed to a different angle in the bedroom, that was also too strange for her.
I think the anti-change artists win that battle, Alan. Plus, I think it's time that guy moved his pillow to the doghouse in the backyard because he's definitely going to be in the doghouse.
So I want to talk about where we're leading everyone here, because we've had this thing that we say at the beginning of our show, and it talks about the attributes that we think a good business owner needs to have in this crisis. It's positive attributes like energy, excitement, a can-do, will-do attitude, drive and flexibility, an open mind to learn from others. This add-on today was a willingness to accept and embrace change, and next week we're going to give you a little preview. We're going to be talking about self-awareness. And, you know, those of you that might know a little bit about either S training or the Landmark Forum will understand that that's necessary, self-awareness, in order to improve your leadership skills. And that's what we're talking about here. You've got to be good as a business person in many different areas here. You need to be, you know, you need to be know something about accounting. You need to know something about merchandising, about marketing, about human relations. You can't just rely on all your outside help and even all your staff. You need to be good at a lot of things. And this is about understanding behaviors of your, you can't understand anyone else's behavior, your employees, your customers, if you don't understand your own behavior. So as part of this series, we're going to add self-awareness next week, and then we're going to move on to talk about leadership. This is in addition to our guests. And who's our guest next week?
Well, Alan, next week, we're thrilled to have as our guest Fletcher McCusker, who's board chairman for Rio Nuevo. He's agreed to be with us next week. Rio Nuevo has done a lot in the downtown area. There's a lot of downtown business, restaurants, and retail now. And there's a lot to talk about with what's going on there. So we're really looking forward to seeing Fletcher next week. And we're planning some really great guests in the future. And please remember, if you have any questions for us, give us a call at 790-2040. The show's almost over now, but next week, you can call our office, my office, 629-9555. If you have any questions or if you'd like to sponsor the program, check out our website, b2btucson.com. We've got lots of interesting things we're trying to do with the program. And if you have some suggestions or questions, please don't hesitate to call.
You know, I'm having a lot of people during the week that will make a comment either on our Facebook page or on our website or send me an email because they know me personally. So some of these questions we're just getting off of the air and we're not getting people necessarily calling in as much. But we do respond to these people. So you'll find us at b2btucson.com. If you want to sponsor our show in the future, Rob would love to talk to you about sponsoring our show. Rob can be reached at Davidson Advertising, 629-9555. And if you're a retailer, if you're a restaurant owner, or you're any business that struggled through the last few months, or you're someone just interested in business, we want to tell you this show is for you. And we're talking about Back to Business with Robin Allen. It's KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice. This has been Alan McCloskey.
And I'm Rob Davidson. Please listen to us next week at 9 a.m., Saturdays, Back to Business with Rob and Allen.